Today's program is brought to you by TechServe. For more information, visit techserve.com.
Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. We're here at Roberta's, the home of Heritage. And I have a guest on today who's doing such an interesting, inspiring, awesome, amazing project that you would only really find in New York. It's like one of those crazy stories.
I think so.
Yes. His name is Dan Delaney. If I may, I'm just going to backtrack to my first experience with this new project. So Dan has been a longtime blogger. He has a great video blog called, or vlog called, Vendor TV. And he's just been all around the food world for a while. And a couple months ago, sent a message saying, "Hey, I just, you know, drove back from Texas and I have this huge smoker and I have this great idea. And let me tell you about it." And I was trying to wrap my head around it. And I was like, well, okay, keep me posted. You know, it's something to do with like some labs, like a workshop series of brisket. I was like, sounds pretty cool. And then, you know, like maybe like a few weeks later, because I had, you know, just kind of put it somewhere in the shelf of awesome, crazy ideas in my head. But all of a sudden, it was like in the New York Times. Dan had sold out of pre-registration in like 48 hours of 2,500 pounds of brisket. Tell me exactly, what is Brisket Lab? Could you? Okay.
So I think it all stems from doing the show Vendor TV and traveling the country. And that show is all about street food. And when I was doing so, I really got exposed to a lot of the local food cultures. I think it's always been in my interest to find the roadside hot dog shack, or, you know, go up and eat at a clam hut, or or have barbecue down south. And I never wanted to be a chef, but I always really liked the idea of food, food artisans, people that like focus on one thing. Maybe they're a coffee roaster, or they're a, you know, they are a cheesemonger or something like that. And then I started to look at barbecue, and it was this intersection where the craft of making barbecue, I think, is much more related to being a butcher or being, you know, something like a cheesemonger than it is being a chef. It's much less about innovation, and it's much, much more about execution and refining a craft, a specific technique. And that resonates well with me. I like that. And so while I was driving down, you know, and filming the show, I was in New Orleans filming this this video about the festival that Jane and Michael Stern of Road Food put on each year about indigenous food from the United States. And there was a Louis Muller barbecue, and they were making their briskets. And that was sort of what they were, you know, offering the festival. And I tried it. And I remember this really, really specifically because it was just... it's hard to describe. It was beyond anything I had ever tasted. It was just like, wow. You know, it was just the most tender, fatty, succulent,
elastic. Did it kind of like flop and like hang and want to fall?
You couldn't even hold on to it. Yeah. It melted in your hand. It just disintegrated. It was nothing. It just like fell apart. It melted like warm butter on your tongue. And it was just otherworldly. And so then when we continued our tour, it became sort of my like little personal mission to start to eat at more and more barbecue places. Now, I had eaten at a lot of them in my time throughout the country, but never did I try something like this. This was just, this redefined barbecue for me. It was wow.
And it's so cool too, because brisket, the cut of from a beef, it's like a poor man's cut. And,
absolutely.
You know, it just takes, and to, you know, trump the other more delicate cuts just by a lot of technique.
Sure.
Yeah. Is pretty cool.
Yeah. I think. So, you know, I kept doing the show, and at a certain point, I think that this thing in the back of my mind kept eating at me, which was like, you know, I'm doing this show because I like to talk about food, but I think what I really want to be doing is cooking food. And at a certain point, I decided, you know, I need to take the plunge and make the switch. And there are so many things about barbecue that resonate well with me. Generally, they're family businesses. They're businesses that are built on tradition. I look at them as, and I've said this before, I look at them sort of as like the jazz of food. It's our oldest food form in the United States. It's a food form that has been really, really worked on and has been mastered over many, many decades. And I think it's riddled with, you know, the sort of lore and legend. And I think it's really sexy. I think it's really, really neat. And there's something very romantic about it, that it's so much about iteration and patience.
And the perfect date meal, brisket?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it depends on who you're going on a date with. If we went on a date, Kathy, it would be brisket all the way. So I was just kind of fascinated by it, and I wasn't finding, there are some great barbecue options in New York, but I wasn't finding the style of barbecue that I really wanted to be eating.
Gotcha.
And so I started to make it. I started to just, I bought a little crappy smoker and I started to smoke and do my best to like make some food and make it okay. And it got good. It started to get better and better. And eventually we started to do these little pop-up like supper clubs, basically. Mm-hmm. Like it was called BKQ. And so once every month we would have people at my apartment and do a little barbecue supper club. And I really enjoyed that and people had a good time. And then I decided at a certain point that I just wanted to take the plunge and move forwards and make this really happen. So yeah, what you said is correct. I went down to Texas. I bought a huge smoker. It's 18 feet long and it's about, I guess, 5 feet wide. It's massive, off of a buddy of mine that runs a barbecue joint down in Austin. And I rented a budget rental truck and I loaded the truck up with the wood that they use in Austin, which is a type of oak called post oak. Mm. And I loaded up with wood and I hitched the smoker to the back of it and drove it up here and then needed to figure out what to do. And,
yeah.
And after kind of thinking about it for a while, we said, well, let's do this thing that we called Brisket Lab.
So this is kind of like I don't know what to describe it as. It's sort of like a CSA where you can sign up in advance and get your meat later, but it's also something of a way maybe to kickstart your project, you know, by funding your new restaurant, which you want to build, and getting an audience in the meantime, but also inviting them into the experimentation of the tasting, the recipe testing, and so forth by coming to these workshops under the Brisket Lab thing. Is that
yeah,
right?
That's exactly it. You know, the problem with barbecue that doesn't exist with many other types of food is that your iteration is super slow. Mm. It takes us 18 hours to come up with one batch. Yeah, exactly. And in order for us to really be testing what we're doing, we have to be cooking at least 200 pounds at once.
Oh, right.
Because the temperature is totally different when we have less brisket in the smoker.
Oh,
so it's one of those things where it's like, how do you really refine what
you
you're doing.
You eat it all yourself,
right?
No?
Heart attack. How do you really refine something, right? So so the idea was, well, we want to figure out a way to write, as I said, beta on what we're doing. How do we test and debug and iterate and refine? How do we do so with a closed group of people that want to be a part of a developmental process and give us feedback? And, you know, how do we also guarantee that we can have people that are going to come to the events and that we won't just create a bunch of brisket that doesn't work. So what we decided to do was create this thing called Brisket Lab. And the idea, as you said, is that we would put a certain quantity of brisket up available. We built this like little website where you can order your brisket. It has like a Q-culator on it where you can say, I want to go to 3 events with 4 friends. Mm-hmm. And it suggests how much brisket to order by the pound.
And these are sort of like supper club events.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah.
And so people didn't know of any of the dates before they RSVP'd. They just kind of went into this because they liked the concept.
And they didn't try the meat.
And they didn't
either.
Try the meat either, right? Which is what I mean, it's really, we're really lucky that it worked out. It could have been a total flop. So, yeah. So people bought meat. The average was 2.5 pounds that people purchased.
Mm-hmm.
We sold it for $25 a pound. And there were some people that bought upwards of 30 pounds. I mean, it was crazy.
Who are these people? They're not all your mom and relatives.
And that's the interesting thing.
Yeah,
it was less than maybe 3 or 4% of the people that purchased that were connected in any way to me previously, to like Vendor TV or any of my mm-hmm. other little projects. So yeah, so these were new people, and And so, yeah, they basically took, I mean, they took a risk, and I appreciate that. They bought into this project. We sold 2,500 pounds of barbecue in 48 hours. What happened first is that we first opened up a coming soon page, which is maybe what you saw. And the idea was that if you were interested, you could drop in your email. And then when we were ready to open up registrations, boom, you could sign up. And I was expecting maybe 300 people to sign up. And we had 4,300 people sign up.
And how did the word get around just by...
Well, it's a combination of, I think, two things. The first is the platform that we used. From strictly a technical perspective, we use this platform called LaunchRock. And anybody that's starting any project, I can't encourage enough to check it out. And it's a coming soon platform, simply. So we said, well, this is coming soon. But what's so cool about it is that you can create an incentive and you can track your performance. So basically we said the person who shares this with the most of their friends gets a whole free brisket to themselves.
Oh, I see.
And then they can tweet and Facebook and Stumble and all that such. And basically we can keep track of who promoted it the most.
Mm-hmm.
So that started to happen. People were sharing it. And then some of the larger blogs and electronic publications found it, and they started to do stories. So Eater did a story, Grub Street, Inside Hook, mm-hmm. You know, Thrillist, publications like that. And that, again, sort of perpetuated, and it started to really kind of take off. And so then we needed to figure out how to convert and get people to actually purchase. And, it, you know, again, it's one thing for people to say, all right, here's an email address. But we had no clue who would take out their credit card and actually want to buy mm-hmm. brisket that yeah. is unknown at an unknown date and time, etc. So my buddy who works at Tumblr helped me build a website where, you know, as I said, people could figure out what they wanted, place an order. And it also had this nice countdown down at the top, which is like, we have 2,500 pounds left. And as people place orders, that starts diminishing.
Yeah, that's exciting. I guess you want to snag that before
the chance is over. I think it created a sense of urgency.
I love this. It's like, okay, LaunchRock, Tumblr, beta restaurants. It's totally reinventing how a restaurant works and everything. I mean,
I think it's unique. I don't know. I mean, I don't. I would love to see other people use the model. It worked well for us. So yeah, we sold the 2,500 pounds in 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sold out. And then actually, I don't think I told you this, but there were 800 people that tried to put in their credit cards but couldn't before it sold out. So a few weeks later, we did another 700 pounds.
Okay.
So it's a total of 3,200 that we sold.
Jesus.
Right.
So are you going to have at this workshop, let them like kind of judge or just chime in on what they like?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, we're
what they
not
don't like. What,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, and we totally appreciate, I think that we have a good sense for what we want to hit, you mm-hmm. know, what we're looking for. But it's also super important, I think, for feedback to come to us. We're not doing really much in terms of changing the recipe. There is no real recipe. It's salt and pepper mm-hmm. and meat
and time.
Smoke and time. And that's it. And, you know, everything that we do to alter the product has much more to do with cooking temperatures, cooking techniques, exposure to heat, and things like that. So it's much more process-driven than it is recipe-driven.
Yeah.
And so now we're at the point where we're about to start to do these events. We built an RSVP system so people could log in with their email addresses. And they
claim their seats at whatever.
Exactly. And those events are all filled up. I think that we posted maybe 26 of them so far.
Mm.
And I think that there are 3 open currently. They filled up very quickly.
Well, it's going to be a crazy summer for you then.
It is.
It's going to be fun.
30 pop-up events. And then my goal is that by the end of it, we're going to create some pretty kick-ass barbecue.
Oh, my gosh. This is so exciting. I know you picked a song, so maybe we'll just cut over to this little musical interlude and be right back with Dan Delaney of Brisket Lab, talking all things brisket.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? Well, how's about cooking something up with me? Sweet baby, well, don't you think maybe we can find us a brand new recipe? I got a high high Rockford attitude dollar bill. And I know a spot right over the hill. The soul to pop and the dancing spree. They wanna have fun, come along with me now. Hey, good looking, well, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Saving all your time for me. No more looking. I know I've been talking. We can't find us brand new recipe. I'm gonna throw my table grab over that fence and I'll find me one for 5 or 10 cents. Keep it till it's covered with age. Writing your name down on every page. Hey, good looking. Well, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something?
Man, I need a new computer. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store.
What? Don't go to the Apple Store. Go to TechServe.
What's TechServe? I thought Apple Store was the only choice.
No, you're crazy. TechServe is so much better than the Apple Store. They're New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. Plus, the store is really cool. You got to go check it out. They're located at 119 West 23rd Street.
Well, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
TechServe is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. For more information, visit TechServe.com. That's TechServe.com.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In today with Dan Delaney of Brisket Lab. Mm-hmm. And also Delaney Barbecue, I believe.
Right. Well, that'll be like the parent company, right? And okay. This is our little lab.
Just check it out, BrisketLab.com.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we were just explaining the whole concept, and getting back a little bit more, because I know that you decided to jump sides, into the kitchen.
Yes.
And have you been cooking, like, your whole life, or just, like, where did that start?
It was when I was in college. Mm-hmm. I was dating this girl who, she ate, I don't think I grew up eating, like, I ate very well. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that I ate like a very exotic range of foods. And then I was dating somebody and she wanted to eat things like Lebanese food. And I had never consumed that at all. So I was really terrified.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up right outside of New York City, in New Jersey, right over the bridge.
Where?
In Bergen County.
Ah, Essex County.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And so I've been around here most of my life, except for I went to school in Philadelphia. And then, so she got me more into food, and then once it happened, it was insatiable, right? And mm-hmm. So started cooking more, and then hosting, you know, always having like parties where we're doing some sort of supper club or something in Philadelphia while I was living there, and then carried that over to Brooklyn when I moved up here, and so it's been pretty consistent cooking since then, and then in addition to Vendor TV, I did another show for 1 year where I made a different video every day of the year for a year, and each one was about a food that's basically unknown, right? So strange ingredients that I didn't know about, like rambutan or cherimoya or whatever, just like obscure things. It was called WTF, what's this food? And so that gave me this it was like a dunk in the cold pool, right? Like I had to learn so much about ingredients that I had never touched or had any exposure to, right? Yeah. So I think that, and then doing the supper clubs, and I've been doing some catering with barbecue stuff for a while, even before getting the smoker.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So you're self-taught.
Self-taught. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I was just thinking, because your last name is Delaney, you're Irish, correct?
Yes.
Corned beef, that's brisket.
That is brisket. It's a little bit of a different technique, for sure.
Boiling it to death, yeah.
Right, yeah. I think that the Germans down in Texas and the Czech immigrants did a better job with brisket than corned beef and cabbage, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, smoked, when you really get smoked brisket, it's pretty, if it's done well, it's mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. It's really other level. And we decided to pick brisket for this because I think that for all intents and purposes, it is by far the hardest of the proteins to cook.
Oh, I see. Right? 'Cause it's so big and, yeah.
It's so big, but structurally, it's a very uneven piece of meat. You have basically two connected muscles. One is called the flat and one is called the point. And the flat is a very, very lean amount of sort of muscle that runs along the whole bottom of the brisket, and there's almost no fat in it. Mm. And on the other side, and it gets very thin, it tapers down to maybe a half an inch thick, right? So it's super thin. On the other side, you have the point, which is another muscle that sits on top of the flat, and that is all like loaded with fat and collagen, and it's super unctuous and rich, and the trick is being able to render out the fat from this like massive Mondo point, mm-hmm. without drying out the flat and turning it into, yeah. just, you know, beef jerky, right?
Right, right.
So that's the trick, and that's kind of why it's very easy to smoke pork shoulder, like to make pulled pork,
yeah,
or
yeah.
ribs are very, very forgiving. They're all super forgiving, but the brisket is like it's such an intimidating piece of meat. And I think that it's like, if we can do that, then, you know, we can tackle the world.
Then you can maybe move on to the pork shoulder or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So have you been eating brisket every day for the last year or so?
I've been eating a lot. It's like it.
You're not sick of it yet?
I am. I am sick of it. But and it's one of, it's funny. It's like, because I mean, honestly, brisket is not the thing that I would want to eat for the rest of my life. It would be a hamburger. But but the thing is, it's there. Producing it and sharing with somebody and seeing it when it's really done well, and yeah. they get that bite, that first bite, and it's just like fat just like drips around their mouth and coats. It's like I fed it to some people that were visiting from Poland the other day, and they were just like,
what?
I've never tasted anything like that.
Right.
And for me, I mean, trying it the first time and trying it the first time at that level, I had never had mm-hmm. anything like it. And
it was a game changer.
It was a game changer. And I would bet that a lot of people that have had barbecue have actually never had. I mean, it's so rare to see brisket really sing, that I would gander that a lot of people that have had it haven't had like truly spectacular brisket.
Mm-hmm. Is it supposed to be a little bit reddish in the middle too?
Well, you get
quite a bit. No,
I mean, everybody has their own technique, right? And so meat tends to get a little bit of red when you start to develop this thing called the smoke ring. And that's when the smoke sort of permeates the meat, and there's a chemical reaction. And so sometimes when you cut into a piece of meat, whether it's pork or brisket or whatever, you'll see like a sort of a pinkish ring around the exterior. Mm. And for a long time, people thought that was a sign of technique. And in like barbecue competitions, they would look for that and give you points to it. And I think that it's being phased out because there are so many other ways to cook that doesn't net that, but still creates a better product that I don't think people are really paying attention to it much anymore.
I like that pearly sheen you'd see too in like the layers.
Yeah, it's silky. When you render out a piece of brisket and you like hold it up, like the fatty side, and give it a little squeeze, like fat drips out of it. It's a pretty overwhelming thing.
All right. Yeah. So so what? Now that might answer the question, but. And you kind of answered this, but I have to ask everyone. The ultimate date meal, in your opinion?
The ultimate meal?
The best food.
Well, for me, I don't think that... For me, I think food is as important as the experience is.
Mm.
And I really enjoy, first of all, very humble settings and also humble meals. I'm not so into fine dining, and I think that's
not all the fuss of like the service and all that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I think that food is ultimately like a very, I mean, I don't know who said food is the most primitive form of comfort. Maybe it was Julia Child. I don't know. But I mean, I believe that. I believe that food should be warm and bread should be ripped and meals should be shared. And so I think that if I'm going to take someone out on a date, it's going to be for something that's very, very warming. And I like the idea of going for barbecue because mm-hmm. I think that if you're going to have like fat and such all over your face, like, I mean, it ultimately throws away any like... I mean, there's no way that you're going to regain any sort of composure if you're
in your primitive
element.
That's
it. You're just, it's it's just mean. I also really like going out for experiential things, like going on taco crawls, like so, you know, up in Queens, or maybe going to find the best dumplings in Jackson Heights or something like that. That's more my style.
You'd probably be good at showing them around. I have a feeling you might know a few places around the city to do that. Fun. Yeah. So when is after this summer's over, Brisket Lab next? Mm-hmm. So you're honing the recipes.
Yes.
You're going to open a permanent fixture of a restaurant sort of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, we're trying to do everything that we can to just, you know, take, I mean, Brisket Lab is supposed to be, it's beta, you know, we're developing, and I'm really hesitant to rush into anything. We're going to take everything one step at a time. And that also means how we grow the business. So I think that
just like a slab of brisket, just takes time.
Exactly. Yeah. Low and slow. We're looking at doing a little sort of pop-up kind of shop sometime after Brisket Lab is over. Actually, we're starting to try and move forwards on that now. So when the Brisket Lab events are over in September, that we can have something pretty much ready for the next step. And again, that'll probably be as simple as we just do brisket, and we serve it just as they serve it down in Texas.
Yeah, just on slabs of like butcher paper on a tray.
Yep.
White bread, okay.
White bread, pickles and onions, no sauce.
Potato salad, no sauce.
No sauce. Pickles. That's a hard thing for people up north, the whole idea of no sauce.
I know,
everyone loves
that.
The sauce, but yeah, no sauce. There's a philosophy, I think, or a mantra among people that are like down in Texas, which is that like, we don't have to use sauce, we have nothing to hide. And I think that, I mean, when you get it right and it's super moist and you don't need it, the pickles, the onions and the bread, they do the trick.
Okay, so once you've mastered brisket, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
And try to master Chinese roast pork cha shao.
Oh, wow. Why? Yeah, I wonder what that would be like if we make the like super sweet barbecue sauce, but then like throw it in the smoker.
Because that's the same.
Time.
It's no sauce. You just slice it. It's tender. It's all you know, cooked in there, smoky.
Now, do you ever make that?
I can't.
Why?
I don't know how.
I think that isn't it braised? Like I think that they either do it with pork loin or belly.
Slow roasted forever. I don't think it's belly.
It's loin.
I don't know.
I think we could do it with belly. It'd be fattier.
Okay, we could try that.
Yeah.
Let's try this.
Maybe like we do like a charcha, like a porchetta.
Yeah, exactly.
Roll it up and cover it in the sauce.
Okay. And then we'll do a nice little crunchy slaw with scallions and stuff. And okay.
That's the other thing. I really like, I'm the one thing that we're not sticking to with tradition, in terms of tradition, is like the sides.
Okay.
I think that part of the reason that people only eat barbecue like once a month is because it becomes so heavy, and I don't think it needs to be. So I think that we're looking much more at like much lighter sides, acidic sides, things that are not completely like gut busting and covered in mayo and whatnot. So it's just much brighter, fresher sides. I think
that sounds like a wise idea and the perfect complement.
Right.
Well, I wish I could check out one of these. Unfortunately, you know, you can't go if you haven't signed up at this point.
At this point, that's correct.
Sorry to say. But definitely check out their progress and what happens with Brisket Lab. I'm sure you'll hear more about it, too, from all the folks who are attending.
If you want, we can make, let's say, a pound of brisket available to the listeners of your show if you want to figure out how to give it away.
Let's think about that. Thank you very much.
Totally.
Okay, let's see what we can do with that. I'll have to think about it. I'm not sure how. Cool. All right. Well, thanks again, Dan Delaney.
Thank you.
It's great having you on the show. Thanks, everyone at Heritage, Joe and Jack. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. You know